WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Green Bay Packers won at Seattle Sunday night, 30-13. Jordan Love, 2 touchdown passes to Romeo Doubs. Minnesota, with this result, clinched a playoff spot. Pittsburgh clinched a playoff berth after a couple others lost. Pittsburgh lost its game at Philadelphia, 27-13. The Eagles have won 10 straight. Buffalo won at Detroit, 48-42. Josh Allen, 362 yards passing and 4 total touchdowns. Victories for Denver and Tampa Bay. For Arizona and Kansas City, which won at Cleveland 21-7. Houston over Miami 20-12. The Texans have clinched the AFC South. Notre Dame gave coach Marcus Freeman a contract extension. In the NBA, Dallas won at Golden State 143-133. On three-pointers combined, the teams were 48-for-95, a record for made threes. The Lakers won the late game over Memphis 116-110. 40 points for Anthony Davis.
Alabama, 1st and 10 on the 12. Again, Houston. He's got a hole. He's over. Alabama touchdown.
I'm just wondering if your listeners know how good a football player you were. I can still see you playing that fullback, knocking those players out of the way. And that, I believe I could have run behind you.
Martin, I can remember when we came to center and you were playing fullback up there. And I saw you in the weight room. And watch the workout in the weight room. If you could pick up, you were strong enough to pick up the whole weight room. I wanted to pick it, and our running back coach didn't think it was tough. biggest mistake we ever made.
The Martin Houston Show with national championship winning fullback Martin Houston, giving you 1 hour of intense, hard-hitting analysis from an insider's perspective. It's time for the Martin Houston Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome into the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier on this Monday edition. Today's playbook, we have Kennington Smith III joining us to review Bama's big win over Creighton. Mark Sears goes off. Bama shows his depth against Creighton. The portal, the good, the bad, the ugly of it. Bama has had a couple guys here on visits. Will they turn up in Crimson Tide uniforms in 2025, as well as Bama's first portal exit has landed in a new home? We'll take a look at the 2025 schedule. What should Alabama do moving forward with the strength of schedule being proven not to be as important? We'll talk about Coach DeBoer and staff, the grades, the outlook on the offseason. Is there potentially any changes coming? We'll also look at the state of college football. Deion Sanders has his first Heisman Trophy winner in just year two at the D1 level and more.
All right, welcome in. It is the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier, powered by Box Eye Care. Got a full show lined up for you. And as Xavier said, we're going to have Kennington Smith III to join us, but he will not be joining us until the second quarter. In the meantime, we invite you to get in on the conversation on the Empowerment Strategies and Solutions Hotline. Empowerment Strategies and Solutions Hotline, 205-342-9904. Remember, Empowerment Strategies and Solutions, we speak, we coach, we train. It's an education, equipping and empowering company. We love the opportunity to work with you. If you're looking for a keynote speaker, if you're looking for someone that you're trying to understand how you and your team work together, we can help you with our MVP DISC performance behavioral analysis, as well as our champions mindset program, which includes a DISC, but also will have a customized playbook or professional development plan. Once again, some of those topics, including, let's look inside the Bama hoops game. Bama took on Creighton. What did they do? Did Big O step up to the challenge? It was interesting to see Youngblood getting his first reps. Could tell he was a little rusty. Mark Sears may have found his game, 27 points by Sears. You have to check out this game. If you didn't get to see it, potentially one of Bama's best games until the last couple minutes of each half, dominating Creighton in the first half, getting up by 15 or 16 points, dominating in the second half, getting up by 15, 16, 17 points, but losing it down a stretch in both halves. They'll have to work on that. The portal, the good, the bad, the ugly. Hey, listen, when you're looking at the portal, Alabama fans complaining, but is Alabama fans going to complain when we get guys out of the portal? Is some of the upset, and Bama fans, don't get upset at me when I say this, but is it because you don't have control? Is it because they're leaving your team? Is it possible, Chase, Xavier, that it has something to do with now the players have control? Is it out of control? Yes. But is the real reason the portal bothers people? Because the only place I'm on that same boat. I'm in that ship with you in some capacity. Is it the fact that these players are now in control? And is this even what they asked for? When they sued, did they even ask for what it's become? And which players or position hurts your team the most when they leave the portal, when they come in from the portal? Did Auburn win by getting Jackson Arnold? Maybe, maybe not. He's a big time former five-star, put a whooping on Alabama, and now he's at Auburn. But did Auburn win? Because now they don't have any scholarship quarterbacks left that have played at Auburn. Wow. Could the same thing happen here or other places? And we have a lot of other topics to get to. And most of those other topics, the 25 schedule, the boring staff, looking at them, we have all offseason to get to those guys. And the state of college football will be a topic as we go throughout the playoff season and into the offseason. But we're going to leave it on there for a little while. Remember this. This is a day that the Lord has made. You take some time to notice someone, love someone, serve someone. Be the difference you want to see in the world today. Let's rejoice because we get another opportunity to talk Alabama football and more. Man, it's interesting. Let's go ahead and get to the phone lines. Alan, you're in on the Empowerment Strategy and Solutions Hotline. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Why is everybody so mad at Deion Sanders? Please explain this to me. The man has won everywhere he's went to so far. He took Jackson State to where they were at, and he left, I mean, for a greener pasture. He went to Colorado, and the team was losing, and he just brought them back to notoriety right now. But everybody's still hating on him, and they're hating on Travis Hunter. Why are they hating on these two people right here? Let me ask you a question, Morton, and I'm going to leave it alone. If that was Nick Saban with Travis Hunter playing both sides, would all this hate be going on right now? I want to know.
Well, yes. X had mentioned that as one of the topics he wanted to talk about, so I'll let him respond first.
Yes and no. I mean, because we've seen Nick Saban get the hate and Alabama get hate and things of that nature. If Travis Hunter was on a 9-3 Alabama team this year, or say it was Jalen Milroe that still had – Jalen Milroe didn't have a horrible year. He had as many touchdowns this year as he did last year. They just came in a little different fashion. I think if it was Jalen Milroe on a 9-3 team winning the Heisman and setting records like he did, yes. I mean, I think – it is comparable that the hate that he would get. Is it for other reasons? Potentially. And I don't know, for me, I'm a running back guy. I think what Ashton Jeanty did was absolutely phenomenal this year. And so he probably would have got my vote for number one in the Heisman. So I think to a certain degree, but hey, Deion has turned Colorado's program around. And Travis Hunter has done something we haven't seen done in a very, very long time. And that's playing offense and defense at this high of a level.
Travis Hunter has done something that's haven't been done in modern football. The only guys who played the way he played was when they played about 45 to 50 plays a game, and everybody was playing both ways. They try to put Woodson in this category. Woodson wasn't nowhere near in this category. No one's been nowhere near in this category. None.
No.
Ever.
Nobody.
Ever.
Nobody.
Nobody's been playing 100-plus plays a game when the other guy you're guarding or the other guy you're running your routes on is only playing half the game. Plus, you're playing special teams. So, see, here's my point, and the reason people are upset. This dude did this, and it's the first time the Heisman Trophy probably went to the right guy outright, period, without question, in a long time. Xavier, I get what Gentry did, but Gentry did that in a small-time conference. They try to put boys in there. Don't get me wrong. Gentry he's legit, and he's a legit player. But to put him in the category with Barry Sanders is crazy. Barry Sanders, in Boise's schedule, would have had 3,000 rushing yards. Don't get me wrong. But the trophy's supposed to go to the best player. The reason people are upset is a couple reasons. One, first of all, Deion is a lightning rod. It doesn't matter what Deion does. You're going to have it's sort of like our country, half and half. No matter which side does what, there's going to be a half is going to be against and half is going to be for. Deion is that type of guy, Alan. So whatever Deion does is going to be that way. If there's anybody who has a complaint about Travis winning the thing, it's probably the quarterback at Colorado. If there's been a quarterback who elevated their team, it's probably Shedeur Sanders. And had he not been the son of Deion and doing this somewhere else, he would have been in that conversation. Let that sink in for a second. Shedeur Sanders probably should have been either the third guy because of what he did in Colorado. If he had did that anywhere else, put Shedeur Sanders on Oregon, Ohio State, any of those teams, what type of numbers do you think he'd have? You see what I'm saying? So
I get that argument, but within the same breath of that argument, if he had a power four offensive line, could he have had more yards? I also look at this is just my opinion.
He was playing exactly. He doesn't need a power four because he has the same level offensive line of the schedules he plays. That's where he's playing.
Sure,
if he was playing his power,
but I've heard you make this argument. Barry Sanders would have been better behind Emmitt Smith's offensive line than maybe Emmitt Smith was.
He would have, but that was playing the same level. That's the same level.
But Boise
is playing against Boise level competition, so he has the same offensive line.
I also watched him go for almost 200 yards against Oregon, and so I'm not saying he could have done that every week, but it's a possibility with a lower level offensive line against a power the only undefeated team in the country. He had a better game against the only undefeated team in the country than Quinshon Judkins and Treshaun Henderson had combined.
Xavier, if you feed a beast, he's going to eat. Ashton Gentry is good, but Ashton Gentry was playing. It's no different than if Alabama plays Mercer consistently. That's what Gentry is playing, a level down from everybody else. And he is a talent that belongs. I'm not saying he doesn't belong. Allie, you have started an argument.
I see that.
Ashton belongs. Gentry belongs. I'm a running back. I'm a fullback. I want those guys to get it. But there's no way in the world that there was a better player. This dude was if he played only wide receiver, he would be the number one wide receiver. If he played only DB, he'd be the number one DB. If he played kick returner only, he'd be the number one kick returner. If he played punt returner, he'd be the number one punt returner. This guy is clearly the best player. I know he didn't. I'm just making a point. The dude probably could do whatever he wanted. If he was anywhere else, if he was playing wide receiver anywhere else or whatever, we wouldn't have this argument. No one would be arguing with him if he played for any coach other than Deion. You can't tell me if this dude did this at any D1 school that doesn't have a lightning rod coach that anyone would argue with Travis Hunter winning the Heisman. Now, you might like Ashton Gentry, but how can you dog him winning it?
I'm not dogging him winning it.
I'm talking about Allen's question. Why are people upset?
In my opinion, both of these guys were deserving. Both of them.
Absolutely. And that's why I was the closest ever.
If Gentry had come a year before, a year later, I don't think it's a question if he wins it. He just happened to have one of the greatest running back seasons ever the same year. You had Travis Hunter playing both sides of the ball at a high level. Travis is definitely 100% a deserving winner of the trophy.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you put him in the SEC, does he have these same numbers?
Who, Hunter?
No, not Hunter. The running back from Boise.
No.
Whose offensive line is he playing with?
It doesn't matter.
I'm also going to tell you this. If Travis Hunter was playing in the SEC, he wouldn't have the exact same numbers he has.
He wouldn't be playing both ways. That's true. He wouldn't be playing both ways. He wouldn't play both ways. That's true. I agree with that. So the lack of
the Big 12 is the conference that we talked about. Oh, that's a horrible conference when it comes to defense.
That's the SEC defense now. We got to get the break, Allen.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
We are way over, but that's what I love about this show. Everybody has an opinion. Xavier has an opinion even when he's wrong, but hey, listen, he has it. Oh. He would pick Gentry. Hey, coming back on the other side, we'll add Robert. He's on the phone waiting, and I apologize, Robert, for having you wait so long. We'll add Kennedy Smith III to the conversation. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A very good morning to you on this Monday. We're getting off to a nice and quiet start as you move along the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. You got the road construction in the area and the usual on McWrights Ferry Road extension between Rice Mine and New Watermelon. Now you do have some bridge work there.
So you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Got timberland in West Alabama or East Mississippi? North River Timber Company has you covered. Since 2011, Courtney White, a registered forester, along with his expert team, have been managing timberland and harvesting timber across four West Alabama counties. They offer comprehensive timber management plans, reforestation services, and appraisals. Courtney White says timber is like money in the bank. Don't let your investment...
I think...
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
Hey, I'm Martin Houston, and I want to tell you about exciting news happening at Box Eye Care. They've moved to their new location, bringing you a brand new lab, stylish new frames, and a fresh look just for you. Enjoy their expanded frame inventory, competitive prices, and faster service, all with the same great level of service you've come to know and trust. Discover this full-service eye care at Box Eye Care's new location. With their in-house lab, they offer unbeatable value and one of the largest frame collections in town. Schedule your eye exam today and walk out with new glasses in less than an hour in most cases. Visit BoxEyeCare.com. That's BoxEyeCare.com. Or call 205-342-0660. That's 205-342-0660. Visit them at 5003 Oscar Baxter Drive. That's Box Eye Care. Your vision, our priority.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The weather unseasonably mild today, occasionally cloudy through tonight. Maybe a shower in spots tonight. The high today, 69. The low tonight, 56. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and mild. A chance of showers. The high close to 70. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 56 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The sound of Bama sports. Your show. Your team. The Martin Houston Show. On your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Alrighty, alrighty. Weather outside is what? Whatever the weather outside is, it's in Alabama, so it's probably hot and sunny. But listen, welcome back in. If you missed that first half, Alan got Xavier and I stirred up because of the Heisman Trophy. We're not going to get too deep into that, but let me tell you why I think one guy would have done better if he had. He's already in D1 in a Power 5 conference. Hunter showed when Hunter went from Alcorn State. Jackson State to Colorado, he got better when he got against better competition. So I know he could up his game. So I do believe he would have still dominated as a wide receiver and a DB in the SEC or anywhere else. I think he would have done the same thing because I saw him up his game before. Gentry, on the other hand, would not have been used the same way. He was the biggest fish on a small team in a small pond that belonged in a big pond. And that, now don't get me wrong, he is really a good running back, but he wouldn't get used that way at these other schools because there would have been more weapons. He was the weapon of choice. And that's why I think that Hunter does it either way at
That's a possibility with that thought process, but I really want to address what Jason Rowley said. He said Boise State ran him at State. He didn't want to play. He transferred to SEC because they would run him to death. No, you were afraid of competition. Didn't Boise run him to death? Thus, no Heisman. That can be an opinion. My thing is though, how you gonna be mad for a kid being loyal to the school that gave him an opportunity coming out of high school, and then also get mad at a kid that transfers because he didn't get whatever opportunity or he wanted to take another route? Like, we can't play both sides of it. He was loyal to the school that recruited him out of high school, the school that believed in him out of high school, and he still ended up being a first-round pick at the running back position because of that. And he was a Heisman Trophy candidate because of that, versus a kid that transferred, Dylan Gabriel or Cam Ward, that are at their third school and are Heisman Trophy winners in year 5 and 6.
All right, and all of that is correct. And speaking of that, transfer to not transfer, we have Kennington Smith III, who's on with us. Good morning, Kennington. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing good, man. We're having some Heisman Trophy debate and all of that stuff around would Hunter have made it in if he had, I mean, would Hunter have did what he did if he had been at a bigger school, and whether Genty would have had the same success. X and I have different opinions on who should have gotten our vote. And then, of course, that last conversation about the transfer portal. I'm going to let you respond to that Heisman conversation, but we have a caller that's been waiting a while that wants to talk about the transfer portal and potentially Alabama football. Robert, you're in on the Empowerment Strategy and Solutions Hotline with Kim Smith III.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Dale. Yeah, I listen to your comments about the transfer portal, you know, and losing control, like, because we don't have control, which, of course, that is true. But yeah, I don't like it because we can't troll either. but it's a reality.
Because of what?
But I don't like it because of you know that we don't control it. Like you said, we don't like it because we can't control. We don't control it. Yeah, I don't like it because we don't control it either. who doesn't like what they don't control? We don't like what they don't control. but it's a reality we have to deal with. The thing is, the only thing that it bugs me is it does hurt the game in this sense. There are no, like right now, every team is pretty much just middle of the road. I guess that's good, you know, for teams who aren't used to being up top. But you know, there right now there's no greatness, you know, as far as teams in college football. Everybody's kind of much in the middle. You know, like 2020 Alabama, 2019 LSU, or, you know, Auburn, 2010 Auburn. We don't see those kinds of teams emerging anymore. And I think it's not as enjoyable in that sense as it used to be, you know, to watch those teams out of the blue become a powerhouse. And, man, nobody can beat this team because it's just so good right now. You know, you think between any Alabama team between 2008 and 2020 would really mop up the floor with all the competition today. I mean, they really would. And I guess that's the downside of it. The team seem to be diminished to the point where it just seems to be a lot of mediocrity in college football versus, you know, those teams we remember because they were great. Even Auburn team, we don't like Auburn, but we remember 2010 team. And or LSU, LSU went in 2012 when Alabama beat them. They couldn't cross the 50-yard line, but that team was great up until that point. I think that's just what we're losing, and it's not because I'm.
Hey, that Auburn team was great because of a transfer.
Right. Well, that was just, you know, it wasn't like, you know, the entire team.
I know.
And even then, there were more rules.
Hold on, Robert. But that transfer went from Florida to Bland, Texas, back to Auburn. That transfer that Xavier's talking about, Cam Newton didn't go just straight to Auburn from one season to the next from Florida. He got in trouble. He had to pay a price. He was in obscurity for a while. Then he came back. Kennington, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all the points being made as far as kind of where I stood on the Heisman conversation. I did feel like it was Travis Hunter. I think you look at both sides' proficiency. I think you think about how he's elevated Colorado's football brand, where they have been in terms of recent success over the last few years to where they are now, how big of a part of that he was. I feel like he was deserving. I did think it was notable how close the vote was. I thought that was pretty surprising, honestly. So Gentee got his just due as well as far as recognition. So really just an all-time race. Obviously somebody had to win, but in my personal opinion, I feel like it should have been Hunter.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on what Robert said about the mediocrity of college football and because of the portal?
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like it's probably a little too early to say that era is going away completely. I think this is really kind of like the first year where there really hasn't been kind of like, I guess, that team that kind of stands out from start to finish as far as domination goes. So I guess we'll just have to see how it goes over the next 2 years. I feel like there are still going to be opportunities for kind of those teams to pop up. Ohio State was supposed to be that this year. You know, there are teams that, you know, are kind of still projected to be that. So I think it's made the sport a little bit more interesting this year, but I am a little hesitant to say that it's going to be like this, you know, every single year moving forward just because the portal's kind of leveled things out.
Yeah,
the only reason we feel this way is because Alabama's down. If Alabama was 13-0, number one in the country, we wouldn't feel that there was a mediocrity in college football.
You know what? The crazy part, to say Alabama is down, it's probably off. We just Robert, I'll let you close it out. We had a low. I mean, we beat the good teams. We just have to either mature, or our coach, somebody has to mature that we don't lose those low-hanging fruit. Because the reality of it is, you would have said Alabama would be 11-1 with the games we won. If you didn't know, who we lost to, you would definitely not think we lost to a 6-6 Oklahoma and a 6-6 Vanderbilt. We beat the good teams. So can they fix the floor at Alabama? Because the ceiling for Alabama was still the same this year. Robert?
Well, and the reason why I say it's mediocrity is, you know, not because it's not because Alabama's down, but like I just said, I really believe any Alabama team between 2008 and 2020 could rip through college football like it wasn't done to it. And some of those teams weren't great. They lost. The 2010 team lost three games. They would destroy college football right now. The 2015 team with Blake Sims. Then lost to Ohio State. They would decimate college football, right? In my opinion, of course. They would decimate college football right now. Because the entirety of college football seemed to diminish. And again, both neither one of those teams won a championship because the other competition was also just as good. It seemed like, and I think you lose that because you don't get the chemistry. Like you said, Cam Newton, he was one. But there were plenty of other team players around here that have been together for years. And that kind of evens that out. You know, so when Cam Newton gets up to speed, those other players have been together for years. They've already gelled, and they're just getting used to him. It happens a lot quicker. That happens a lot quicker than. Now, like you said, Ohio State, the reason why they didn't dominate because it takes some time for that chemistry to build up. And you got that many new players. You need some time for these guys to get together and figure things out. When are you going to move left or right? That kind of thing, without even looking or thinking. Like 2020, reason why they were a well-oiled machine? We know why. Those guys have been together for years. They were in sync beyond measure. They were so bummed. I mean, they were like, can finish your sentences.
and that's right, Robert. You're nailing it. The team chemistry, we have to get the break here, but the team chemistry that Robert's referring to, and we'll respond, Kenny, on the other side, but the key there is, as we get the break, is there is no off season. There's no preseason. There's none of this playing before other than the spring game. And then they even add people after spring game. So college football, in a lot of ways, is still the best form of football, in my opinion. But it's broken because it's not reaching its maximum potential. And I think that's what Robert's saying. The highest highs right now, the high teams, are not at the ceiling of the others. There's still some teams that are better than everybody else. They just don't have the ceiling that the other team used to have. And that's my opinion. And I'm sticking to it at least until somebody changed my mind or I changed my mind. All right, we got to go to the other side to keep the conversation rolling.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A very good morning to you on this Monday. We're getting off to a nice and quiet start as you move along the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. You got the road construction in the area and the usual on McWrights Ferry Road extension between Rice Mine and New Watermelon. Now you do have some bridge work there. Also, 20.
Too important to let this moment pass us by.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Dixie Battery Supply takes care of all of your battery needs. Find the commercial batteries you're after and never feel powerless again. Come check out our Northport and Tuscaloosa locations or call us at 205-758-9190. And once again, power up all your devices by using Dixie Battery Supply, dixiebatterysupply.com. They offer
holiday magic. Go to BMW of Tuscaloosa before time runs out on these hot year-end offers. BMW of Tuscaloosa. Take your dreams for a drive.
Visit the pharmacy at Midtown. That's the pharmacyatmidtown.com. TJ and his team are looking for the opportunity to provide you with great services, including compounding, home delivery, and a whole lot more. If you're looking for a great pharmacy that'll take care of all of your needs, including wellness classes, including health, and more, that's the pharmacy at Midtown. Call them at
208-9845. 800-398-9845. That's 800-398-9845.
Interact with the Martin Houston Show by calling us at 205-342-9904. Or tuning into the Martin Houston Show on Facebook.
Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier. As we enter the second half, we are joined by Kenny Smith III. But before we get back into the, or before we get into transfer portal conversation, we have Ragged Glory joining us on the Empowerment Strategy Solution Hotline. How are you doing this morning?
Well, good morning, brethren. Hey, I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench in your gearbox. I'm a first-time caller for your show.
Okay.
Martin. You,
yes, sir.
Thank you. Martin, you are my pastor, and I want to say thank you for your last two Sunday sermons.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
And now I would also like to say you messed up this morning. your pastoral proclamation to us Crimson Tide listeners on your show.
Every morning, I
know it by heart.
I messed up. Don't call me out. I said it wrong this morning.
Hey, but you know what? It was wonderful because you've got a lot going on in your mind. And it's a manic Monday. Okay.
That's right.
Okay, so the last thing I want to say, and I can let you all get on with your show. I'm old school football, playing in the 70s, and I went back and forth both sides. I had to play quarterback with a wishbone offense, and I had to play free safety because you had to play both sides of the ball. So my vote went out to Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very happy. I think he's well-deserving of the Heisman.
Agree.
Agree.
I'm supporting your argument, and that's pretty much all I have to say. And you guys will hear back from me again sometime.
Hey, don't hang up, Ray Glory. I'm going to get Chase to get your number. So stay on.
Chase has my number.
All right. Thanks, Drake Glory. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. And thanks for those kind words, man. I appreciate
it. Every morning, I'm going to call you out.
Remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for that.
Take the time to notice someone. Love someone. Serve someone.
And serve so what? Oh, my goodness. Ragged, thank you so much, man. That's a blessing. It is truly a blessing. So, all right. X, I'll toss it back to you on that portal conversation that's generated and get you in Kennington's thoughts.
All right, Kennington. So the portal has popped off a little bit more over the weekend. Some bigger names have entered the portal from the Alabama Crimson Tide. And, of course, that is Justice Haynes, the running back out of Buford, Georgia, and Devontae Smith, the safety that is still with the Crimson Tide out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Those are the two big names. Of course, Dylan Lonergan, quarterback, has also entered the portal. Blind Squirrel Sport, who's our resident Georgia fan, says, do y'all think there's any chance Justice Haynes becomes a volunteer? I can see him having a Dylan Sampson-esque success in Tennessee's offense. But the question is he the biggest loss? And what happens if he ends up in conference against a rival, with a rival for Alabama?
Yeah, I think the biggest loss would be Devontae Smith, in my opinion. I just think when you think about losing him, on top of losing Malachi Moore, on top of potentially losing Damani Jackson, the experience in the secondary is going to be depleted with his loss. Justice Haynes is a loss in production, but you feel good about the running back room. And at the end of the day, Justice Haynes was the number three running option on this offense behind Jalen Milroe, Jan Miller. So I would say Devontae Smith is a bigger loss. If Justice Haynes ends up in the SEC, I guess it just kind of is what it is. Like, that's just what... that's what life is like now in college football. You're on a team, and then the next year you're on another team. You're playing against that same team. I would probably think that he would lean more to the Big Ten. I'm just trying to think back to Haynes' high school recruitment, and it kind of feels like he was leaning more so towards like the Ohio States, the Michigans, in addition to Georgia as well, and Alabama. So
I think he would probably lean Big Ten, but in my opinion, Devontae Smith was the biggest loss just because of what it means in terms of experience and depth of across the entire secondary.
And let me kind of give a different angle, if I can quickly. I get that on the surface, but I also think that having had what's his name get hurt may nullify Devontae a little bit. Sab getting hurt if he comes back. Mm-hmm. That would be the only thing that would make me say, okay, they weren't expecting probably to have Sab necessarily back next year, or they weren't expecting to have number 18, I just drew a blank on his name.
Hubbard
play at the level he played, Kennington. So in some ways, that injury may help soften the blow that you're talking about. If that plays out that way, still, you still lose depth that you thought you had. So it won't be as good as we thought. But here's the question I have to you and ex Kennington on this Haynes thing. First of all, I don't know that Haynes is gone. Okay. Because if Haynes was on my team, you know what I'd be telling him right now, son, there was a promise made to you when you came here, and it hasn't panned out, but we're going to have a different style offense next year where the quarterback will not have as many carries, no matter who the quarterback is. So those carries are going to translate to the running back. You were our starter till you got hurt. And then Jam just became the starter. So I'm still selling him if he's here. Bion Squirrel Sports mentioned going to Tennessee. See, here's the reverse. At Tennessee, Kennington, what do you think Tennessee's offense is going to lead with next year? Because he goes there, and it looks like that's the place to go. That's not hype. This year's wasn't Heupel's offense. This was out of necessity and having a young quarterback, right? That's the risk that these kids don't understand when they jump based off of last year's result versus looking forward to next year. Your thoughts, Kenny?
Yeah, I agree. Something I would say on the running back position, which I think is important to consider, is like regardless of if Haynes were to go or even if Haynes were to come back, like you said, you are going to lose a running back in some way or safer fashion because Richard Young is in the mix. Jam Miller's in the mix. You're bringing in A.K. Deer. The likelihood that Bama will carry six running backs on scholarship next year, regardless, I think will be pretty low. So bringing back Haynes probably means you lose Richard Young. Maybe you lose Jam Miller. So I feel like there was probably going to be some natural attrition at that position anyway. But it is kind of, a bit of a sore blow that it is Haynes, somebody who was highly recruited and somebody who had a lot of hype coming into this year.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at it, it's interesting because one of the schools I've seen him being linked to, he's going to run into the same problem. And it's not Georgia, it's not Tennessee, not Ohio State, it's South Carolina. I've seen him linked to South Carolina, and you're going to Lenore Sellers, who's just as much of a runner as Jalen Milroe, if not more, because of where he's at in the development of his career. So that'll be interesting to see if South Carolina is able to pull Justice away. And I agree with Kennington. I think there's going to be a natural attrition because Richard Young is too good to sit on the bench again. You know, he's not necessarily the hype of Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers situation, but he's too good to sit on the bench and only have the number of carries that he had this year. Jam's going to be a senior, so he's gone. Richard can step up and become the face or the lead back in the year two with Hill, Riley, and A.K. Deer on the tail end of that. So I think that is a natural thing with the attrition. Hate to see him go, but understand it at the end of the day. We're going to go ahead and get the break. When we come back on the other side, we'll finish this transfer portal conversation and try to hit some Bama hoops as well. This is the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier. Power Up Box Out here.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler. Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama-Creighton. We'll do that with Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston. We'll talk to Barrett Salee. We'll talk about the transfer portal. Will Alabama get some good news from that side of things? We'll talk about it starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sport.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We found a little bit of trouble on 2059 this morning. It's in the eastbound lane at 359. So that is an accident, but I don't see where you're heavily delayed right now. As a matter of fact, I don't really see much of a delay at all. Just a very, very...
On your home for Alabama basketball.
Presented in part by BMW of Tuscaloosa and by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi.
Taco Casa, quality, taste, and value under the biggest cactus in town. They've been doing it the right way each and every day for 50 years and counting. If you're looking for a great option for lunch and or dinner, then you need to check out Taco Casa. Taco Casa, and while you're there, don't forget to get a big glass of that sweet tea.
This is the brand new Southern Comfort Food Company. It also houses Finney's Pub, Ramajamas, Liza's Sweet Shop, and Pizzeria. And you can learn more at VenueTuscaloosa.com.
Keep it locked into Tide 100.9 for more of the Martin Houston Show with Martin Houston and X's and O's Sports, Xavier Houston.
Welcome back to Martin and Xavier powered by Box Eye Care. It's now time for the Harvest Church 2-Minute Warning. A little rapid fire. Try to get some questions in with Kennington. We thank all our callers, viewers, and chatters, but hey, let's give our guests this last 5 minutes here. Kennington, we were talking about the portal. Any thoughts you have on the portal situation, the good, the bad, the ugly, whether it's Alabama or SEC in general, especially with Auburn getting a quarterback that empties their quarterback room? It's Kenny tonight. Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, just interested in the fallout of really just the Bama guys. Devontae Smith, Justice Haynes, Dylan Lonergan is taking a visit to Georgia, which I found pretty surprising. So really just interested to see kind of where the Bama guy goes and seeing the amount of additions and departures at the end of the window. That's always something that I look out for. But I'll be interested to see how Alabama starts maneuvering. They do have some positions that I think need help, wide receiver, defensive line, among others. So we'll be interested to see if there's any traction as far as getting any additions into the fold for Alabama. They've had a lot of, subtractions. Let's see if they can get some additions this week.
All right. Kendall, what's your thoughts in terms of the basketball game?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway that I had is Alabama is winning games this year that they lost last year. NATO scheduled this really tough schedule last year. They were really close, but they didn't have that kind of competitive will down the stretch to close out some of those big games against the Purdue's, the Creighton's, et cetera. They come back this year, and you see that nucleus with the addition starting to win those games. You look at the 7-game stretch that they had. With Purdue and Illinois and Houston all the way down to Creighton, going 5-2 in that stretch is pretty remarkable. And you have to feel really good about where Alabama is at as a team. And they're going to have these next 3 games to kind of work the kinks out before SEC play. So I feel like for the most part, outside of Latrell Wright's injury, this has been a pretty ideal start for Alabama to start the year. Houston Millett is in the fold and healthy and playing. Same with Chris Youngblood. So excited to see what those two bring. But Alabama basketball is exactly where they need to be, I think, going into SEC play.
Yeah, Kenton, speaking of those new additions in Houston Mallett, who gave up a red shirt because of the right side injury, Youngblood and what he's done now that he's healthy. And, of course, you can't forget Big O in the middle. What are those three guys' impact so far? I know Youngblood's first time was playing was Saturday and Mallett coming off the red shirt. But how big are the three of those guys because of their experience and their veteran presence for this team that has a ton of young talent in the Phylons and Reeds and Sherrills?
Yeah, I think just the ability to have multiple ball handlers, multiple guys who can get their own shot and score And then Cliff, obviously, what he's doing defensively was just the gaping hole that Alabama's roster had last year. So Nato's did a really good job of identifying the needs from Bama outside of this defense, kind of those more secondary things, like, again, having another ball handler, having more guys who could score off the dribble and get their own shots. The way that he was able to replenish this roster is really impressive. And even without Reitzel, who is their best shooter, it seems like they're still scoring at a high clip. They're still going to be able to shoot the ball well. So this is going to be a really formidable team going into January, and they're going to need it because the SEC is brutal. It's brutal.
Yeah, speaking of that, like, what are your thoughts on the SEC and how deep this conference is becoming in basketball on the terms of what it has been in football in the past?
Yeah, I mean, just the commitment to be good at basketball, I think, with the SEC is something that stands out. It's kind of like somewhat come out of nowhere, but you appreciate that the conference is taking basketball more seriously. I've seen a lot of chatter about them potentially getting 12 teams into the field. That's a pretty ambitious number, but I'll be dialed into the SEC race this year. I think it has the potential to be an all-timer.
Yeah, and that was Leonardo that said, I mean, that's a crazy Alabama and the SEC didn't start that rumor. That's what's crazy. Kenny, to tell them where they can find you, man.
Yeah, on X at SkinnyKenny_TheAthletic.com or The Athletic, however you get your mobile apps, searching my name, Kennington Smith, or anything related to Alabama athletics.
Yeah, man, what a show. Kennington, thanks for your input. Guys, he has a lot more to say and share. Go check him out at SkinnyKenny_ on the X, and then you can find all of his other sites, TheAthletic.com. All right, hey, remember this, trust in the Lord always, lean not your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That was Kenny Smith III. That's Xavier Houston. I'm Martin Houston. That's Chase Bonfield. We appreciate you. We'll catch you tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here in Ragged Glory. I'll get it right tomorrow. If I don't, call me out. Roll Tide, everybody.